Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Persistent. To continue steadfastly or firmly in some state, purpose, course of action, or the like, especially in spite of opposition, to last or endure tenaciously. Persistent. An example of one who was persistent was a guy by the name of Pheidippides. Legend has it that he ran all the way from Marathon to Athens to announce the Greek army's victory over the Persians in 490 BC. Upon arrival to Athens, after having run 25 miles straight, he announced, "We won!" And then he collapsed and died right there. Now, whether the legend of such a run is true or not has not stopped people from trying to duplicate such a feat. Over 500,000 people tried and accomplished a marathon just last year alone. In fact, last weekend, Minneapolis hosted the 35th annual Medtronic Twin Cities Marathon, where 8,551 people completed the race of 26.2 miles. Persistence is key when running a race of this magnitude. From the rigorous and lengthy training that might happen months, if not years, in advance, to the obstacles that might hinder them in the process, there's the risk of injury, the risk of the body shutting down, not to mention accounting for burning over 2,600 calories in the race alone. So it's no wonder that Pheidippides collapsed and died. They hadn't invented Gatorade and power bars for him to have along the way so that they could replace all of the calories and all of the electrolytes that had been burned. Being persistent is a necessity in running, but it is a necessity in more than just running. In fact, it is a necessity in numerous areas of life. It takes persistence for a teacher to help numerous students on varying levels of ability to grasp a concept so that everybody can move on to the next lesson together. It takes persistence for one man and one woman to endure to their 50th wedding anniversary and beyond. It takes persistence for the God-fearing parents to remain steadfast in their raising their children to also be God-fearing men and women. It takes persistence for one enduring cancer to continue treatment after treatment of chemo and radiation. It takes persistence for the family member of that person with cancer to care for that person day after day after day. From the challenges that we embrace to the challenges that we are forced to accept, we are all familiar with persistence. In fact, persistence would more often than not be viewed as a positive characteristic in people. But this is not always the case. What happens when what we persist in is not beneficial for us? What happens when what we persist in is sinful? After all, that's what we sinners do. We sin, and we're really good at persisting in it. Like a pig that enjoys wallowing in the mud day after day, so we have this tendency to wallow in our sin with the same result of just simply ending up dirty. Whether it's gossiping, or pornography, or gambling, or swearing, or lying, we all persist in sin. And so in our text for today, Jesus would have us turn from a life of persistent sin and instead be persistent in prayer. Our text says it this way, "And Jesus told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. Like a runner that needs to keep putting one foot in front of the other in order to make it to the finish line, so the disciples are instructed to pray day after day and throughout all of life. And so are we told to do the same. And to make the point, Jesus tells a parable of the persistent widow. Here this widow approaches this judge again and again, demanding justice against her adversary. But the judge, at first, is not willing to oblige. But after presenting her case again and again, the unjust judge finally grants her justice. Jesus then says, "And will not God give justice to his elect, who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them?" These rhetorical questions that Jesus asks of his disciples demands that we who are known for being persistent in sin to ask of ourselves, why would we not be persistent in prayer? As the parable makes clear, if this unjust judge would be willing to grant this request of this widow, why would we not go to God with all of our cares and concerns? Why would we not go to God who is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and desires to graciously give us all things? Why would we not go to him regularly and often? The answer to that question is very hard for us to accept, but true more often than we would like to admit. We would much rather persist in sin than be persistent in prayer. Sin is easy. Prayer is not always easy. How many of us struggle with prayer? How many of us feel like Jacob in our Old Testament reading, like it's this wrestling match with God? How many of us have thought on countless occasions, why bother? It doesn't seem to do any good. Why should I continue praying? Or why should I even start, depending on where you're at? The Lutheran confessions give us a clear answer of why we should bother praying. In the section of the confessions on the Lord's Prayer, it says this: "It is our duty to pray because of God's command in the second commandment. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Thereby we are required to praise the holy name and to pray and call upon it in every need. This God requires of us. It is not a matter of our choice. It is our duty and obligation to pray if we want to be Christians." End quote. To not pray is to fear, love, and trust in ourselves rather than God. And that's idolatry. And that can have only one result. The same result that happened to Pheidippides as he approached Athens there. The wage of sin is death, and we are dead in our trespasses and sins. And so, like the lepers from last week's gospel reading, we have only to cry out to God for mercy, to cry out to God for help. And the good news is that our God can't wait to help us. He is not like that unjust judge that just gave in to that woman after all of those times of her presenting her case. No, our God looks forward to us conversing with him again and again, just like he delights in your being in worship and receiving his Holy Supper. It's why he commands us to do all these things. He just can't wait to lavish his love and his forgiveness upon you, just like he can't wait to hear and answer your prayers. Now, that doesn't mean that when we pray, we'll always get our way. But it does mean that when we approach him in prayer, he will be faithful to work for the good of those who love him, just as he promised. It's just as we heard earlier in our service for today. "I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth." such promises like this one in Scripture and so many others throughout the pages of God's Word are God's way of helping us when we're tempted to turn inward and run from God. But as Christians, instead of running from God, we look ahead as we pray and we see that He has already run the race ahead of us. We simply follow in His footsteps, all the while knowing He's there on the journey with us. God's promise to remain with us and to help us will forever remain true. Permit me a story here for just a moment. One year, Britain's representative in the 400-meter race, Derek Redmond, fell down in the back stretch with a torn right hamstring. As the medical attendants approached, Redmond fought to his feet, and then he set out hopping, desperately trying to make it to the finish line. He knew he wouldn't win, but he was just trying to make it to the finish. When he made the final stretch, a large man in a t-shirt made his way out of the stands, pushed security guards out of the way, ran to Redmond, and hugged him. That big man was Jim Redmond, Derek Redmond's father. And he said, "Son, you don't have to do this." But gritting his teeth and with tears in his eyes, his son said, "Yes, I do." His father said, "Well then, we're going to finish this together." They fought off security men that were trying to pull Derek's dad away from him. Derek's head was often tucked into his dad's shoulder as he was crying, but they stayed in his lane to the end. When they crossed the finish line, the crowd, stunned, stood to its feet, and they wept and they howled as father and son crossed the finish line together. Like Jim Redmond exited those stands to help his son Derek to the finish line, so has your God helped you. He saw you living in your life in persistent sin, and He sent His own flesh and blood to save you and to pay that price of that sin. He came down from the halls of heaven and endured the race that was set before Him. Through the obstacles of Pharisees and Sadducees and Roman guards and crowds yelling "Crucify" and Satan himself, He pressed on toward the prize. He endured the cross. He despised its shame. And He kept going all the way until He reached His Father's right hand in heaven. Your Savior did all of that to save you from your life of persistent sin. Your Savior did that so that you would have access to your Father in heaven, so that you would be children of the Heavenly Father, so that with all boldness and confidence, you may ask Him as dear children, ask their dear Father in heaven, and your God, who is rich in mercy, can't wait to lavish His compassion upon you again and again, as He both hears and answers your prayers. So as you run the race that has been set before you in life, pray without ceasing and do not lose heart. Not just in the bad times, but regularly and often. Call upon Him, call upon His name, and He will deliver you just as He promised, and you will endure to the finish line. That's God's promise to you. And like any promise from God, you can always hold Him to it. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God that surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.